But when you're in the midst of the storm, you need him to hold on to. We hold on to each other for the what we have here, but you need to reach up, pull him down, and hold on to him. That's when you know that you're going to be okay, that God is with you, because we all stumble, as that song says. We all fail. We all need. How many need something today? Amen. Just raise your hand, because he knows you do. But it's when you know that he's there that you stop worrying about what you need and understand that you have joy today. You have peace today. You have strength today. That's God. That's why you come to church. That's why we're building a church, a family. We're the bride. We're building the church so that we're in unity. When one is down, we lift each other up. To just reflect and have a second, we're going to ask Joanne to bring us into church this morning. We love this part of our service right here. Just for a few minutes, just reflect and let go of the world, let go of the problems. You've come to receive. Just open up and enjoy and receive. Joanne, bring us into church this morning. Maestro, if you please. Thank you, Lord. This is church. Everybody's happy and clapping and smiling. Amen. It should be that way. Amen. This is God's house. We have the joy here, unspeakable. I pray each week that when you leave here, you hear something that changes your life. I know it changes mine when I write it, when I study it, and I know that God is good. Anything you can get from God is good. Amen. Anything that changes you to just be more like God changes your friends and your family and changes your boss at work. Amen. How many know your attitude changes? Your boss attitude has to change. Why are you always so happy? I don't know, but be happy with me. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and pray together as we do each and every Sunday. The prayer that Jesus gave us, simply to pray, Our Father,
who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And ever. Amen. Be seated and relax. Now, when you pray to God, when you went to your father, did you have a prayer before you went to your dad to ask him for money or ask him for the car keys? When you pray every night, you pray, do you start, would you say that whole prayer? Oh, yeah, by the, and then say the Our Father before you ask God for something. Of course you don't. Amen. Jesus gave us that model to pray, and we pray it and we love it because it's perfect, because Jesus put it in a way, and then he added that, forgive us our. You see, if we wrote a prayer, we would have never said, forgive us our, see. But it's just, when you pray to God, it's talking to God, amen? That's what you're doing, you're talking to God. Sure, you're asking sometimes, but I tell you all the time, talk to him, share a story with him, thank him for the wonderful day you had someday, thank him for you went to the casino and you won, thank him, oh, how happy, anything that you have joy with, thank him, have a conversation with him, let him talk back, let him see your smile, amen? That's the God that you love. He loves you, amen? You don't have to go to him, get on your knees and say, Our Father, or no. He said, yeah, I know. And he even said, don't do that. Don't be repetitious. Just talk to me. Amen. That's for when you're alone. You go to bed at night and you want to say the Our Father because it gives you comfort. Say it 5 times. As long as it's bringing you closer to God. Let's read together. Let there be light. Thank you, Lord. Marty's here today. Where's Marty? Hi, Marty. Do not, say that with me, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Now, I know you'd like to do that to them, but if you wait and let God do it, I tell you the reward's greater. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed off of his faithfulness. Boy, there's something you can just carry around with you. Commit our way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Rest in the Lord. That's important, brothers and sisters, because when you're in the midst of a storm, the last thing you want to do is rest. But when that rest gives you strength, and that strength gives you peace, and that peace begins the healing, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. I thank you, Lord, for confirming this, pastor. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Amen. That's Psalm 37. You can read that at night. You can read it in the daytime. I hope that it touches your heart. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And we'll start. You got to come to the Bible studies. Now, you know, you do. You really do. My wife and I snuck in last Wednesday. We sat in the back. Nobody knew we were here. And we had the best time listening. And the Bible studies aren't... And read from the scripture and look around and read from the... No, they had a conversation. Sometimes very lively. Sometimes very amusing. But it's a conversation about the Bible. And you learn from the Bible. And you learn from the conversations. Now... I did hear a couple of questions that were asked that made me smile. And we have a rule at the church. I don't know, we haven't done it lately. But we had a rule we started last year. If somebody has a good idea, like last year we had this woman said, I have a good idea. When somebody's sick, we ought to get cards, and somebody ought to be in charge of sending a get well card to someone. That's a good idea. And I pointed to her and I said, guess what? You're in charge of that idea. You got a good idea, run with it, right? People are asking good questions. Asking is the great beginning. Amen? But you can ask, and you get an answer, and you don't like the answer. You see, because it's your job to do something else. Seeking is the great adventure. How many like adventures? So seeking, see, George Mako, becomes the great adventure, see. Not for somebody else to just give you the answer. You seek for the answer. And here's why. When you find the answer, that's the great victory. You have a victory in God. When you ask the question and then seek for the answer and you find the answer, Sergio, it's what? It's victory for you. Amen? And when God's questions, you search for the answer. God will help you and show you. But first, and here's the big thing, you must be willing to hear and accept. Amen? It very often does not lie in your understanding. And it doesn't. But as you learn, you do understand. You see how to begin to believe in ways you could never believe before. You see, that's how it works. When you seek and you find, all of a sudden you believe in ways you didn't believe before. And you say, this is good, I want more. Brothers and sisters, this book cannot lie. There's not one, how many? Lie in this book. It cannot lie. It tells the truth. When you talk about Moses in Genesis, the first five books, you say, how did he know all that? Simple. The answer, who spent time on the mountain with God? Who spoke to Moses? He was up there a long time. He wasn't up there for 10 minutes. So when he wrote this, who gave it to him? Hallelujah. There's not one lie. Amen? And this book confirms itself. Now, the question that I really liked talked about Adam and Eve and the children of Adam and Eve. And where did they get the children if there was just Adam and Eve? First of all, Adam was what? Created. Amen? He didn't have a bloodline before. He was created out of what? Dust. Amen? And then Eve was created out of where? His rib, amen? So they're pure, amen? Nothing to do with bloodline, no families, nothing. They're separate but the same. They were made the same. So they're one blood, one body, amen? Adam and Eve, guess what they have? They, first of all, they were created as adults, amen? Or I will assume that they weren't children because God gave them lessons to do and things, so they were created in that way. Adam and Eve had children. How many know that? They had children. How many did they have? Well, we know about Cain and Abel, and we know about Seth. This is the book, and Genesis 5, George Mako. Genesis, right here. Genesis 5. I'm not picking on you. I love you. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. We already know that he had children before Seth, amen? He had Cain and Abel, and so he must have had others. And it says, for after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. And he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived, there were 930 years and he died. Say, okay, Pastor, what's that got to do? He had sons and daughters, amen? The sons, yes, were with the daughters. That's how they populated the earth. The sons, but you got to remember, hundreds of years, amen? They're not talking about somebody who lived 30 years, you can only have children at this age. No, they had children at the age of 150, at the age of 200, because, well, there's many reasons why. But you wonder why Adam lived so long? Because it was perfect. Amen. Why Eve lived so long? Because it was perfect. There was no disease. There were no bugs. The water was pure. The air was pure. Who created it? So how could it have been anything but perfect? They committed a sin when they ate the fruit. Amen. They didn't do anything to the earth. So after they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, everything was still perfect. They had many children. And I don't know why they didn't name the ladies. I'm sorry. I don't know why. Dave, we don't know why. We'll never know why. But they didn't. But they had many. Say that word with me. Many. Hallelujah. And they had children together. And it wasn't as you would call incest. Remember, Adam and Eve were created by who? They were one blood. Amen. And then their children were off. So everything was perfect. And the only possible way for the earth to start to be populated was how? That brothers would be with sisters. And then there would be cousins and more cousins and uncles and aunts. Amen? And that's the simple answer. It's not a mystery. Right there in Genesis 5 gives you an answer. So I tell you again, asking is the great beginning. Seeking. And where's Deacon Jim? He must be downstairs. Oh, there he is, Deacon Jim. He loves history. Seeking Jim is the great adventure. You know, you're seeking answers from God. And when you find the answer, it's the great victory. That's what changes you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll go on to that sometime. Let's just pray together. Lord, we know that if we just keep our eyes focused on you, that our life does change. If we read your word, our life changes. As we accept your word, our life changes. But Lord, we know that when we see your word come to life in our lives, we know that not only our lives change, but our children's life and our grandchildren's life, our friends, where we work, where we go to school, because people see a different spirit in us, a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace and comfort, a spirit of compassion. Lord, you look around the world and you don't see a lot of compassion. You see a lot of demands, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. Why? Because they've removed you. They removed the one thing that the world needs, the creator of all things. Hallelujah. Man create machines to measure how old the earth is, Lord. Man create machines to go into space, all the places that you've created. Man have created machines to tell the age of the earth, give or take billions of years. I know, Lord. Isn't that silly? They create a machine to tell us how old the earth is, and then they tell us, oh, it's 100 billion or 200 billion off, but it's close enough. Hallelujah, Lord. But the one thing that computers and smartphones can't do is create intelligence. They can't do what you did, Lord. They can't create intelligence. Men have theories. We can dream. We can even deny that there is a God. But without God, these few years we live is all we'll have. But with God, we have eternity. See God. See the Creator. Know that He loves you. Know that He cares about you. Seek Him. Find that journey. Get on the path of seeking. And each and every day that you find something, you have another victory. That moves you closer to God. For your children. For your grandchildren. Tell them about God at the dinner table. It's not too late. Not too late. God is the true way. The only way. Our way. Our God. The God of the Bible who created all these things for us. Seek Him this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen.
Give Him praise, church. I bet you thought I was going to forget again, didn't you? Yeah. Just stick around. I'll hang around. I get it. You did a great job. That was good. My wife told me on the way down, don't forget you forgot last week. Can I have one of those hymnals, baby? How's everybody this morning? Amen. God good? I don't know if that was praising God or not. I know that if the Yankees won last night, you probably clapped louder than that. How about praising God this morning? Thank you, Lord.
And the Yankees did win last night.
Yeah, there is a God. This is a hymnal. How many know what this is? What's inside this book?
Songs.
Songs. Are they sacred? Eddie? Are they special? They're about God. Amen. Does every song in here change your life?
Yes.
No. Does every song in here reflect anything you're going through? Not every one, amen? So this is a song written by who? Men and women. 1600s, 1500s. This is a book full of songs to lead you where? To God. We have somebody in church this morning, a friend of mine, who's an incredible songwriter. So it's a perfect day. I'm so surprised. I'm just so happy to see him today. But he's an incredible songwriter, too. So for all the days for him to come, we're going to be talking about music. Amen? How many like music? How many know that? Amen. How many know that music is medicinal? Truly, music can heal you. Heal you. How can music? It gives you peace. And when you get peace, how many times I have to? When you have peace, your body begins to what?
Yeah.
Heal. The stress in your back, in your neck, your arms. When you're at peace, all of a sudden, you start to feel music. Music is so powerful. Powerful. You know that there's some music that's very angry. Some of the lyrics very vile, to be honest. And what does that lead to? Anger. Amen. It leads to confusion. It leads to people getting out there and getting mad and getting angry. See, music is powerful. And you know why it is? Because it was Satan's job, Lucifer's job in heaven. He was a music minister in heaven. Before he became a fallen angel, he was in charge of the music. He played the lute. He was so beautiful. Lucifer, just look up in Isaiah if you want to seek. It's Isaiah. He had the most everything, the most beautiful everything, and his pride got to him. He wanted to be with God. He wanted to be above God. But God had blessed him as an angel to have all this. So he knows music better than we know, and he knows how to get to people through music. Why? Because it goes where? To our emotions, to where we live, to where you live. Right here, Chuck, where? Right here. That's where the music goes, where you live. And once it gets in there, it's either hard to get out or hard to forget sometimes. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We sing songs from the book. Let me read one. And you just stay with me. Upside down. That'll never work. Now, this may be a beautiful song. I don't know the song, but I looked through the songs because I wanted to say that music touches us. Music draws you closer to God. This book, amen, is a book of hymnals for the church. So I just want you to read, stay with it. It says, "You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands while you go out with joy." No. That meant something to somebody who wrote it. Amen. That's in this book for a big reason, because somebody wrote that song. It's in our hymnal. It's a spiritual song, amen? But if I sang that song today, how many would be moved? To see? And here's the thing, and it's so funny that Marty's here. You need to write a song, Dominic, Nelly. Bunny, you need to write a song. You need to write a song about what God's doing in your life that moved you to the point that you want to be here every Sunday, that moved you to the point that you want to read His Word, Sergio. You need to write, tell everybody, because that's what a song does, amen? The songs that you love and get in your spirit, why? Because of the words that get where? Here. They go from here to here, and it makes you, anybody ever cry when you hear a sad song? Your song about sadness, or it doesn't have to, in fact, not sadness, about love to the ninth degree. The love, there was a song a couple of years ago that I couldn't even sing. I tried singing, I couldn't sing it, because it was about a grandfather who took her granddaughter fishing with a little fishing pole. And she caught her first fish with the fishing pole. And she thinks that we're just fishing. I'm going to cry now. Because the song came out 2 months after I took Madison to Lou Berry's farm. And we caught fish together, her first fish. And she thinks we're just fishing. You see, that song is what touched my heart. And I couldn't sing it now. I tried to sing a song for my bride. There was a song, and it mentions my wife and how much I love her. I said, I can't sing it. So waiting on a woman. Everybody, there's a song called Waiting on a Woman. He said, someday you'll understand waiting on a woman. He said, and he said, when I die, I'll find a bench if there's any, and I'll sit and I'll wait. But honey, take your time, because I don't mind waiting on a woman. You see the tears in my, Chuck, you understand? My goosebumps, see? So that's good. But now it's about God. It's about you and God. So I can sing that song, the trees will clap their hands. I have no idea what that means. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying. But that person that wrote that song knew exactly what they were talking about. That person that wrote that song, guess what? They loved God. They loved God with all their heart. And that was the song that they wrote. And people sang that song because there was feeling that time from that person. Amen? So every song in here, even though it doesn't touch you, has touched somebody else. But sometimes it's not good enough. We sing Amazing Grace. I'll tell you what, the people that sing it ought to know what it means. It means forgiveness. Amen? Nothing but forgiveness. You called me every name. You did everything to me. You hurt my family. I forgive you. Amazing Grace. Amen? There's nothing after that. There's no but I want my revenge. Amen? See, but the songs have to bring you to God. It's a song that I heard. Watch the way the children play. Listen to the things they say. Their days are full of happiness for life. Amen? You understand that? See the smile on their faces, their dirty clothes and untied laces. Without a care, pure joy is in their eyes. You see that, right? You start to see the picture. If one should fall and hurt his knee, he knows the only place to be. Without a care, he runs for mama's love. You see that? It's there he feels safe and warm. She holds him until his fear is gone. But mama knows that it's sent from up above. And the part goes, if only we could find a way to live through each and every day. Each and every day to trust the love that he gives so free. Amen? Say that with me. Trust the love he gives so free. Hallelujah. He'll show us more than you can ever ask for, because that's the way, say this with me, that's the way God intended it to be. Amen. Now the second verse goes, just like the child that needed care, and you've all related to that. You see the child, amen. It could have been your child. Just like the child who needed care. We run for help when we get scared. How many have ever done that? We did it this week, my wife and I. It's time you realize he's waiting there, Karen. Waiting. There's not one thing that he can't do. Listen to this line. There's not one thing that he can't do. His wish is that you'll ask him to. He always has the answers for your prayers. That song was about life. And that song was something that you can relate to about God. It's the way that God intended it to be. If only we could find a way to live through each and every day, to trust the love that he gives so free. How does he give it? What did it cost you yesterday? Zero. It's not going to cost you anything today. He'd fill our hearts with so much more than any man could ask him for. Amen. That's the way our God intended it to be. That's why we sing. That's where music gets in here. That's where you start to look in this book as a hymnal. This book is a hymnal. There's songs in here, they're called psalms. There's words in here called proverbs to tell you from God. And then there's stories in here from Matthew, from John, from Peter, from James. Not that James, but we love that James. Music will move you closer to God. Elder Pat knows when she stands up and we're singing, he touched me. Yes, she's feeling it. She's not listening to anybody else. She's looking at God saying, he's touching me right now. Amen. You get to that point You get to that point and you're not going to be the same. When you leave here today, if you carry that, you're not going to be the same. If you think that there's things he can't do in your life, then you will realize that you were wrong, that he can do all things in your life. Amen. He's not going to do it today. He's not going to fix your problems today. And tomorrow there's going to be new problems. Amen. That's the way life is. Amen. We understand that this week. We understand that. But to know God before the problem comes is the blessing. To trust him, to understand him. So I'm just going to close. I'm going to close with what God gave me to write down. Asking is the great beginning. It's the beginning of life. And you've already done that, Sergio. Seeking, Walter, is the great adventure. Every day, seeking every day to do something different, to closer to God. And when you find each and every nugget that you find, that's your great victory. And Wigglesworth once said, Marcia, there's no great victories without any great battles. So you want the greatest of victories. Those are the ones when you have to fight the greatest battles. So I ask you today, write a song. Write a song. Michael, you write a song. And I'll even put this out to you. My wife's going to kill me. You write a song, Gene. You write a song. I'll put music like Elvis sings to it. You write a song and you bring it to me. I'll put music to it. I'll fix a line so that musically we can sing it, but we'll sing your song. We won't tell anybody else who wrote the song, but we'll sing a song that you wrote to God. And it could simply be, thank you, Lord, for my family, for my daughter, for my grandchild. Thank you, Lord, for the job that I have. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine today. Lord, I feel better today. I feel stronger today. For that, I will simply thank you. I don't know how I'll feel tomorrow, but today I feel great, and I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to hold on to that, knowing that if I feel good today, I could feel better tomorrow. Amen? And I'll be looking up instead of looking in the mirror at my problem. And I'll be looking up to my help. Amen? That's why you come here. That's why we sing. But if I don't reach you, and we don't reach each other, we failed. How many times have you met somebody that went to church and they said, what did you talk about today? I don't know. I don't know. People were talking and people were around looking at each other, and then they passed a plate and then they passed an envelope and then they stood up and I don't know what they talked about. Bless their hearts, my friend's church. They got a new pastor at the church. They can't even understand the guy. He's from another country. He's a beautiful man. He loves God. Loves God. You know what I'm saying? He loves God. But the sheep cannot understand him. You need to write that song. You need to have God in your life. Like, don't be afraid. Just like the child that needed care, we run for help. Amen? It's the way God intended it to be. You write a song. You write some lyrics. Lisa, I expect you to write something too, a singer. And I'll put it to music, and we'll move the church. And I want to thank God for that story that I just told you, that song that I just told you, because God gave me that song. That's one of the songs that I've written many years ago to God. Manny, we're going to do a CD, we've got a Christian CD, and that will be on it. But that was a song that God put in my heart. He said, Larry, paint a picture, and paint it about me. And I thank God for that. I thank God for you. You thank God for all the things in your life. Write that song to him. It will change your life. Give him praise, church. Give him praise.